In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. This morning, we are privy to an intensely intimate moment between Jesus and God. A moment so private, so intimate, that much of it happens in a cloud. The transformation of Christ. Now, if you'll notice, Mark never, ever tells us that Christ's physical person was transformed. Actually, his physical appearance doesn't seem to have changed at all. We're told that his clothes became a dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. So, in essence, the divine image of Christ was manifest to the disciples through his human body, allowing the disciples to see who Jesus really was at the center of his being, the divine light that projected from him being visible to everyone around him. Basically, that's what a transfiguration is. It's a divine experience that shows you who you are at the center of your being, your true self, and it shines forth. And in that moment, who you really are is visible to those around you through the divine light of God. That's what the disciples saw when they saw who Jesus really was. They saw the brightness of his clothes. They saw the cloud descending. They heard the voice from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." In that very moment, they saw Jesus in his totality. The Son of God and the Son of Man. And then it was over, just as fast as it had begun. Everything went back to normal, except nothing was normal anymore. The divine experience of a transfiguration had occurred, and the disciples, having stood on holy ground, were changed in ways they were yet to understand. Transfiguration is never spoken again in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus never speaks of it, neither do the disciples, for that matter. But that's really only because Jesus ordered them not to until he was raised from the dead. And actually, that's probably for the best, because the transfiguration isn't something to be explained. Transfiguration is something to be experienced. Because it still happens, you know. Which then, of course, begs the question, have you experienced a transfiguration? Have you experienced a divine intervention from God in your life? And if you have, and I'd be willing to bet you have, did you know it? How did you know that at that moment in your life, you were standing on holy ground? Well, I suspect your answer would be the same as the others who have had this experience. And the answer is simply this: you just know. And so do the people around you. Because transfigurations don't usually happen in isolation from other people. And it can happen in some very unique ways. And I happen to know this from firsthand experience. I was working at Bank of America, and my office was on the 16th floor of a 60-story building. It was in the corporate tower. And that morning was just like any other morning in the bank until around 10 o'clock. The window washers were washing the windows outside, and suddenly one of the washer's seat buckets frayed, and he was literally dangling by a thread. And in great danger of falling 16 floors to his certain death. Word spread fast, as you might imagine, that he was in danger, and everybody, on my side of the building anyway, went to where this poor man was literally left hanging, and everybody just stood there staring at him. I could see the abject terror in his eyes, as you might imagine, and he knew he was in serious trouble. My department manager told those of us that had gathered at the window to go back to work. Some people would soon be coming to take the double pane glass out of that window and pull the man to safety. So there was nothing we could do, so go back to work. Well, I won't tell you what I said in response to that because I'm standing in a pulpit. But suffice to say, I did not leave that man's side. His eyes told me I couldn't leave him, and my heart told me I shouldn't. Unbeknownst to either of us at that moment, our mutual transfiguration was beginning. The divine light of Christ was revealing to me who I truly was at the center of my being, and the divine light of Christ was revealing to this man a deep faith and trust in humanity that he may or may not have known he had. So I sat down on the floor of that office. I pulled out my rosary beads and I held them up to the window and we began to pray. We prayed the Hail Marys, the Our Fathers. We prayed anything that I could think of to give him some emotional comfort. He couldn't hear me through the double pane glass and I couldn't hear him either. But I knew we were praying together. And I could see the fear in his face relax just ever so slightly. Again, my manager came and told me to go back to work, and I simply said no. I knew in my heart that my ministry of presence for this man dangling 16 floors up was far more important than anything I could be doing for the bank at that moment. So instead, I picked up some paper and started talking to him in writing, holding the paper up to the window so that he could read it. "It's going to be okay," I wrote. "The people are on their way to get the windows out so that they can get you in." He smiled a nervous smile and a real slight nod of approval, not daring to move too much. When the rescue workers arrived in the building, I wrote to him once again. I said, "They're on their way up. It won't be long now." And I asked him what he wanted once they got him into the building. And this is the motion he made. "I don't blame him. You got it." So I left this poor man to go find a cigarette in a non-smoking building. And I had decided that the non-smoking rules didn't apply to somebody who had been dangling by a thread outside of a building 16 stories up for 3.5 hours. He wanted a cigarette. He was, by God, going to have a cigarette. Well, I was standing there when they brought this window washer to safety. And as I handed him his cigarette, we just looked at each other. I never knew his name. He never knew my name. No words were spoken, because no words were needed. We both knew we were standing on holy ground, and the divine grace of God had transfigured us and reminded each of us of who we were at the center of our being. We were both changed, each in our own way, and we knew it. Now, transfigurations won't always be that dramatic, thank God, but there's no shortage of them either. For example, in about 4 minutes, the divine grace light of Christ is going to shine on Antonio Skylark in Nicosia as we baptize him into Christ's one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And he will then begin his journey of faith wrapped in the brightness of Christ. I pray that as Antonio grows in his faith, he will experience firsthand the transfiguring love of God in his life. But while he and the rest of us wait to behold Christ's glory, may we always remember that it's already being reflected around us all the time, every day, as we stand within the cloud of God's love, just waiting for that transfiguration that will shine forth in us for the whole world to see. Amen.